and welcome to another episode of your favorite podcast ever.
You do that just to make me laugh every time.
Hallmark's the spot.
Hallmark's the spot with Jim and
Ellie. Where we talk about Hallmark
movies. That's right. All Hallmark movies, original movies on the Hallmark channel, not so much the Hallmark movies and mysteries.
Yes, we like the rom-commy style.
Although sometimes they forget the com.
Yeah.
It's mostly rom.
Even if they just attempt it.
Yeah. It improves.
We don't like as much the maudlin movies that Hallmark movies and mysteries throw at you.
That's right. The single moms, the widowed spouses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are we talking about today?
We're talking about two movies today.
Yeah, the last two originals.
Fall movies.
Yes.
Fall Harvest movies.
Right.
So one is called Falling for Look Lodge.
Right.
And the other one is Country at Heart.
Yes, the long-awaited Jesse Schramm, Niall Mader extravaganza that was supposed to be on that got postponed for a couple of months, I think.
At least. Because wasn't it supposed to be in June?
Yeah, I think so.
But then somehow they pivoted. They added some scenes about apple pies or something, and it became a fall harvest movie.
So, I know we promised on the last episode to do a countdown of our favorite bad boyfriends.
That's right. But we're going to have to re-promise that for next time because we have two movies this time.
Right, because we didn't record the week before, so we squished two movies together.
Right. But we're thinking we may be able to do it next time. So,
yeah, probably.
Cross your fingers, everyone.
Only have one movie for the next show. My best friend's bouquet or something
that's right.
Like that.
With the woman from the Christmas duet or whatever that one was. Yeah,
So we have that to look forward to.
That's right. If that bouquet lands where it's supposed to land, that's what I hear.
So Falling for Look Lodge.
Yeah. Was terrible. I'm sorry. I thought it was like one of those you finish the sentence things.
No, I preface this that this is the lead actress in this movie.
Oh, that's right. She has a typically male name.
Yes, typically male. We're not saying always, but I've never run into another woman with the name Clark.
Clark. It must be a family name.
Clark Bacco.
Clark Bacco. I'm going to write that down. Clark Bacco. And then her paramour
is Jonathan Kentz, or Kites.
K-E-I-T-Z.
Yes. She plays Lily, and he plays Noah. Now, this Jonathan person, we've seen in another movie.
He played a secret prince.
He was a secret prince. Was that the one? Which one was that?
That's the one where they live on St. Simon's Island, I believe, and he's the Prince of St. Ives? Is that the one?
Yeah, I think it sounds familiar. Because
I get it confused with the one where the woman is from New Jersey.
Right. The one from New Jersey, is she the gardener?
No.
She's the teacher.
She's the teacher. This is the gardener from St. Simon's Island.
Yeah.
Where she's a landscape architect.
That's right.
And I forget her name always. It's a rule. I always forget it. She was on Secret Life of the American Teenager, which I always say. But she was also the sister in that terrible Christmas movie where the seven swans are swimming and the eight ladies dancing or whatever, they show up every day. And she thinks it's all about her.
Yeah, because she's got like a small, you know, like a thin head and giant teeth. That's how I...
Which one? The sister or the one?
No, the landscape architect.
Who is the sister of the woman who has delusions of grandeur in that other movie. Okay. So, yeah, no, but she's really sweet. She was also in that Time for You to Come Home for Christmas.
Right.
Where she and her father ran that jam company. Anyway, we're okay, talking a lot about a person.
You're losing me now.
We're talking a lot about a person who wasn't even in this movie, but Nate, or wait, what's his name? Isn't it?
Jonathan plays Noah.
Noah. My pen's working again. Good. Yeah. So Noah, who played Nate or whatever in that other movie,
yes.
He is the brother of the bride, and this all takes place at Look Lodge, where the bride and the brother of the bride, I forget the bride's name, Noah and his sister used to spend their summers or something at this Look Lodge, or it was their annual family vacation.
Right.
And their parents are gone now, but she's getting married there, and she wants her brother, who's a bit of a workaholic, it seems, to get to know her family. So it all starts right. Very inauspiciously, of course.
Yes.
When he opens up his car door in the driveway and...
Well, let me read the synopsis.
Oh.
The official synopsis.
Oh, sorry. I got ahead of you. I'm so excited. Sorry about that. Boing.
Lily dreams of being a Lily dreams of being a hotel event coordinator and is thrilled when she's given the chance to do so by helping Noah, hotel guest, finish planning his sister Justine's wedding at a remote lodge. That is a long sentence. That was all one sentence.
That's ridiculous. They need an editor. All right. So Lily is obviously young, bright, excited. Her sister owns Look Lodge.
Yeah.
She's late for work. She comes screaming into I'm saying this because this is probably the most memorable scene of the whole movie. She comes screaming into the driveway on her bike and then gets a car door opened in front of her.
Yeah, and she falls over, avoiding the car door.
Right.
And then and it's Noah who's opened the car door, and she was upset at him because he didn't shoulder look.
Yes, which started a whole conversation
about
shoulder look and what the heck is that?
I've never heard it put that way in my entire life.
That's right. So, we always say, did you check your blind spot?
Yeah, or, you know.
Yeah, you check your blind spot. I mean, what else do you say? You could look in your blind spot.
Yeah, or.
But she says, you didn't shoulder look, which is a very strange.
As if everyone knows what that means.
And he blames her, right?
Right.
Yeah,
she shouldn't be so close to the car.
Right. You know, and she shouldn't be rushing or whatever, mm-hmm. right? Because didn't he look at his watch and assume she was late for work?
Did he?
I thought so, but it's so long ago, I can't.
Yeah.
Don't hold me to it. I'm sure somebody out there knows.
That I can't confirm or
deny. It's all mixed up in my brains.
More like...
It's all mixed up in my brains.
Invalidate? No, confirm or...
Dissent?
Well, technically, either way, I'm confirming.
I'm just saying I don't really remember because I was so distracted by this shoulder look thing. Also, the double blaming, which is a usual thing. And also the fact that when I took driver's ed, they told you to look to see if somebody was sitting in the driver's seat of a car.
Right.
Or any car as you were driving by. I'm thinking you would do that as a cyclist because you can get really hurt when somebody opens their door. And she shouldn't have been so close to the car if there was a driver in it.
That's right.
So
it's her fault. That's
right.
But we looked up origins of shoulder look, and it's mostly used in Canada.
Right.
So I'm sure maybe the northern states may also use it.
Mm-hmm.
But
we were unfamiliar.
Yes, on either coast.
That's right. I've always lived at least 12 hours away from Canada.
Yeah.
12 hours or more. So I haven't been hit by the shoulder look.
So she wants to, she's trying to prove to her sister that she can, instead of whatever she is, just a clerk.
Maybe she's the front desk person.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to tell in this place who does what a little bit.
She wants to do event planning.
Do you know what her friend was doing?
waitress?
Yeah, maybe.
Or something like that?
So...
in the hotel restaurant?
Yeah, so after she is nearly thrown from her bike or whatever...
Right.
She goes in and her friend says, oh my God, number one, you're late. Number two, you need a new shirt. And she hooks her up with a new shirt to put on. And number three tells her that the event coordinator just texted his notice or something late the night before.
Right.
So she says, this is my big break. And the chick says, you better put a shirt on.
Yeah.
You better change your shirt. And so then... her sister doesn't immediately think of making her the person. So when Noah shows up and then Justine shows up and Justine says, okay, cool, where's our itinerary? They're like, we don't have anything.
Right.
And Noah was supposed to plan it, but then delegated it to his assistant. And it's not clear the assistant and the event coordinator ever connected.
And his sister was none too happy about that.
She was not happy. She was not happy. And... the woman, Lily, saves the day by saying, oh, you know, we'll work together and we'll meet in the bar in a half an hour and all that stuff. So,
right.
So she's poised to save the day, but also has this, pressure now because right. She wants to do well on this so she can get her sister to see her as the new event coordinator.
Right. So her sister says, listen, I have to give you a chance because I got nobody else right now.
Anyway. But I don't want to give you a chance just because you're my sister. So you better do good.
So.
So they come up with ideas.
So she starts working with Nate. So that's how their romance starts budding.
She basically becomes like a life coach to the guy. Because she sees him making all these. She catches that the sister's very upset.
Right.
She knows what the sister is expecting every mm-hmm. step of the way.
She did plan something in his name.
Right, that they have an afternoon at the spa, and this is courtesy of Noah. The sister sees right through it. you know, and it's just a lot of that where he keeps on putting work before his family.
Right.
And he's not making an effort to get to know the family, which is what she really wanted.
Right.
Justine
but
wanted.
But why is he putting work in front of the family?
Because of the loss of their own family, right?
It's his father's business.
Oh.
And he...
he's trying to prove himself to his dead dad?
No, he's trying to...
I usually have the one who say this stuff.
No, he's trying to be successful in honor of
his father. Okay.
That is, you know, so it's more like I need to keep up this tradition to honor my, you know, mm-hmm. honor my father. So I'm working overtime.
Right. He does work all the time to the point where his people who work for him are like, we aren't sending you that proposal.
Yeah. So they slowly get to know each other, but there's some family fights in there in between. And, of course, the big sister witnesses the aftermath of every bad moment.
That's right.
And she says, you're supposed to be on top of this. And I go, like, they're the ones who are fighting, and they're the ones who have issues with each other. Right. An event planner is not supposed to be a psychologist.
No.
Having group therapy sessions.
Right. Yeah, no, she comes up with some good ideas, and she helps Noah along. He's got to write a speech.
Right.
Two speeches, right? And she's the one who clues him in, like, you're going to have to do the father-daughter dance.
Uh-huh.
And so she really is helping him a tremendous amount, and realizing that she likes him, and he's kind of realizing he likes her. But he really, there's like one bad fight in his hotel room when the sister realizes he's been working on a proposal and not the speeches
right.
or whatever. And also realizes that like Lily wrote the first, you know, tried to get him going on one of the speeches.
Uh-huh.
So that was pretty bad.
Yeah.
But it was the hotel thing that got her fired. So we're fast-forwarding right. through a lot of useless encounters, let's just say.
Yeah, so her sister fires her.
The night before the wedding.
Yeah.
you're out of here, because she was in his room and they saw the aftermath of this fight.
Right.
And she's like, you have to be out of here tomorrow morning. You can't even be on the grounds anymore. You better be out of here before the wedding starts. Which is like, these people only know her, and then she doesn't show up for the wedding. I just don't.
Yeah.
Like, and of course, the sister won't listen. Won't let her explain. So bad boss.
Right.
Right. Doesn't get the sister's point of view about what happened. And then the next morning. Oh, so that night she stays up all night and writes a proposal for a business.
Yeah.
Because they were pushing each other.
Her own event planning business.
Or adventure, outdoor adventure company, which is like event. You know, it's, yeah. So she stays up all night doing a business plan, even though Noah said he was going to help her with the business plan.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
She shows up the next day. Well, both Noah and Justine had gone to the big sister and said, look, we have our own issues. This has nothing to do with Lily. And they advocated for her, right?
Yeah.
I seem to recall. And then what happened? She ends up at the wedding? I never remember how things
They
end.
Invite her to the wedding anyway. Oh.
And she shows up in this gorgeous dress kind of a thing.
Right.
Because she's only been wearing like activewear and khakis and long sleeve shirts. And then what?
Can't remember the end.
I know he gave the speech and they talked outside the lodge and her sister offered her a job and she turned her down.
I was really banking on you knowing the
Okay. That was 2 weeks ago. That was a long time ago. If we got any of these details wrong, you could send us an email and tell us.
Listen,
but
we watched this and deleted it. So we couldn't watch it again.
We learned our lesson. We'll record more promptly.
Yeah.
So anyway, in the end, they end up together.
Right.
The big sister offers her a job. Well, that was the weird thing. I'm firing you. You have to be off the grounds, but you can stay in my spare room.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, what?
Yeah, you have to be off the grounds in a matter of time. But you can move in the spare room last week.
That's right, because we're still family. I'm just firing you as a person.
Yeah.
Not as my sister. And so,
But
she turns her down on the job.
Right.
Because she's going to start this business, which I just don't understand.
Yes, take the job and then...
And at the same time. And so her sister says, well, I'm sure we can, you know, subcontract you. You know, we'll refer business to you. I'm sure we'll be using you. But I don't know why. Maybe it's a conflict of interest if she works there and refers business to her other company.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why she quit.
Well...
But she had inspiration. So basically the Noah says something about coming back more often.
Right.
And then when she says, I'm going to start my business, he's like, I'm sure I'd love to go on a few of those trips. So they talk about their future of, you know, immediate future of, hey, we're going to hang out. It sounds like fun.
Right.
And that's it.
And they've somehow fall in love and profess their love for each other at the end of the movie. That we can't remember.
I just remember they talked outside, I think, in front of them.
Yeah. Okay. My first impression is something you started talking about right off the bat, right before we started recording.
Right.
And that's the title of this movie is called Falling for Look Lodge, yet none of it has anything to do with Look Lodge. You would think when you're saying Falling for Look Lodge that there'd be something in connection with the lodge, like, maybe they're going to lose their lease. Maybe, this lodge was in my family for so many years. It really means a lot to me. None of that.
Right.
It was just a background.
Yeah. Not only that, the main lodge looked weird because there were no windows on the second floor in the front of the building.
Yeah. It's almost like it was a fortress.
Then they had all these other buildings where they were hanging out, but it should have been falling at, although that sounds like I'm falling and I can't get up.
Right.
But falling in love, if you aren't even going to say falling in love, but falling for Look Lodge, like you said, you think it's a thing.
Yeah, that they would be falling. Oh, now this place means something to me too.
Yeah.
But none of it had anything to do with the lodge.
Yeah.
Other than they were having a wedding there.
Right. Not like Christmas at Holly Lodge.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Where it's her battle to keep the place going and she loves it. It's so much a part of the whole story.
Right.
Because she's the innkeeper and she runs it. This is just like
same thing like that the Christmas one with Candace Cameron Bure and Alan Thicke.
Oh, right. Now I can't remember it, but it's one of our more favorite ones.
Yeah. It's why can't we remember that title?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. It's all like about that. Saving that place.
Right.
Or even the one with Warren.
Yeah. Where
Warren and Winnie Cooper. Yeah.
Where the lodge or the house or the whatever is almost like a character in the movie.
Right.
This.
No, and the other thing is, what other customers?
Yeah. There was no
hustle and bustle, and there were no other customers. And then even when the wedding happened, it was like, was everybody local? Did nobody come early? It was like you didn't even see over the course of the week more people showing up.
For the wedding.
Yeah, or more events that had to do with, I guess they did like a rehearsal dinner or something.
Yeah.
But
you're right. You never saw any kind of other patrons of the hotel.
Right.
Any foot traffic.
Now, to be clear, we don't know when they filmed this. And so maybe they had all these people in quarantine together and they just said, okay, you are our 14 people and you're going to, because there's a whole subplot right. with the bartender and the best friend who was like the waitress and they ended up kind of hitting it off, you know, because she had a crush on him.
Right.
But like that bar never had other people in it. They drank a lot of apple cider because it was a fall thing.
Right.
But yeah, it was her mountain was the special place or whatever, but it wasn't anything about the actual lodge.
Have you ever had apple cider for fall, celebrating fall, like around fall?
Yes.
Was that a regular thing?
Yes. Yes.
Man, it's another thing that has never happened. I was thinking of how many times could I have apple cider in my life. Uh-huh. And I was trying to remember, and it can't be more than a count on one hand. It's like it was never a go-to drink.
Well, I mean, usually apple cider starts showing up in the stores in the fall. And you would heat it up and have it with cinnamon sticks or whatever.
And that maybe once in my life I've had that.
Yeah. But it's a lot of sugar or whatever.
It's like mulled wine. I've had that once.
Well, that's delicious. They should have mulled wine versus the apple cider. Although look what happened at that last one with Cindy Busby.
That's
where
she
drank all that wine. And
she drank the entire bottle of wine and got drunk. Now, the dude that plays
Noah.
Noah?
Yes.
Noah Nate?
Yeah.
Man, that dude is boring.
Yeah. He was kind of boring as the prince / undercover landscaper worker.
He didn't have, like, any kind of character.
He doesn't have a lot of stage presence or whatever. So, I mean, he seems like a perfectly nice guy.
Yeah. I just don't understand why she was falling in love with him. He wasn't exactly Mr. Charisma.
No. So anyway, that's all I got to say, I think. You were going to say you have a couple things, I think, besides the title.
Well, that Noah is boring to me. And Clark, she seemed like she was 18.
Yeah.
You know?
She also seemed a little one-dimensional.
Yeah.
The character development, the writing in this, not awesome. I guess they do develop character-wise, but not a lot of depth.
Right. And I just don't understand the falling in love portion of it because there was no real good byplay between them or knowing looks or whatever.
Right. Not even an almost kiss, right? Yeah. Or was there? Uh-huh.
Yeah, but...
if it was, it was unmemorable.
Yeah, there was no wooing.
Yeah. Well, because it was always just trying to get the other one to, like, do the thing they wanted them to do. Like, oh, you should really do your company. Well, you should really write your vows. You should really work less. You should, you know, it was.
Yeah, two people telling each other what to do.
Yeah, they're like life coaches. They weren't lovers. I don't know. I don't get it. She looked really nice at the end. I remember she walked in. She is beautiful. You know, I'll give her that. I'm sure she's like a model and stuff. But
she's got to be. She's stick thin.
Yes. but yeah.
Only models look like that.
Yeah, I mean, there was the fiance was worried that Noah didn't like him, but that's just because Noah's really bad with people or whatever.
Yeah.
And so she was really trying to help him to get to know him and to open up and to ask questions, be curious, anything. And they had a little girl, so his sister was going to be a stepmom when she got married, and that little girl was one of the better characters.
Right.
So she knew what was going on, but that's all I got. No more.
That's it. So how do you rate it?
Oh, wow.
You got to rate it.
Yeah. It was, at least it wasn't super annoying. Like, we watched it and we forgot about it, which is better than the ones that we watch and are annoyed by for a couple days. So I'll give it a 2 or 1.5. 1.5.
I'd give it a 2. It's not like you watch it and say, whoa, this is terrible. Why am I watching it?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just boring. It wasn't bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you could feel time passing as you were watching it.
So.
Yeah. So.
I'll give it a 2.
2. Okay. So. I'll be generous. Give it a 2.
You didn't have to change your score.
No. Well, I was leaning toward 2. Then I really was like, 2.
Right.
Yeah, sure. All right.
Now
on to one that I actually really liked.
Country at Heart.
Yay!
We don't have to look up the actors in this one.
Because we heard them say Jesse Schramm and Niall Mader about 16,000 times before we finally saw it. Both in May and in September. But it's, you want to give the synopsis?
I'll give the official Hallmark synopsis.
If that's one long sentence, or is this one too?
Country at Heart. No, there's a couple sentences in this one. A struggling country singer meets a Nashville songwriter in need of inspiration. Teaming up to write a song, their work gets complicated, but results in both a hit song and true love.
Ooh, baby.
Stars Jesse Schramm and Niall Mader.
That's right.
And Lucas Bryant.
Oh, that's right, because Lucas Bryant
is the third angle of this triangle.
That's right. It's the most complicated of all shapes, the love triangle.
The love triangle.
That's a quote from Ted Lasso, which we've been watching again for the third time.
Yeah. It's a good show if you have Apple Plus, watch it.
That's right. Apple TV Plus.
Apple TV Plus, that's right.
So I forget their names in this. Did they give names?
Jesse Schramm and Niall Mader.
Character names.
Oh. Hold on. Let me go to the cast. There we go. Cast. Niall Mader plays Grady.
Grady.
Duke is that Lucas Bryant dude.
Uh-huh.
And Jesse Schramm plays Shayna.
Shayna. All right. Where do I start? I start in Nashville. She's doing an audition to be a backup singer for Duke.
Right.
And Duke is a big country singer.
Right.
And she is struggling, as they said.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have to say that back in the olden times, a year ago, December, I traveled to Nashville and I spent a lot of time, well, not a lot of time because I was only there for a long weekend, but right. I spent a lot of time in a bar where there was live music. Mm-hmm. And all of the early acts are these young female singer-songwriters from all over, some classically trained, like one was an opera singer, you know, from all over the country, you know, Indiana, Pennsylvania, you know, and they're all coming there because they want to hit it big. And so I could totally relate to this woman who's doing one audition after another or whatever, and just really kind of getting worn down, because it was a little depressing in a way to see these young, bright, talented women who are just struggling, and they're there working for tips, basically, getting like $40 because there's, you know, five people in the room or whatever at 2 o'clock on a rainy, chilly Sunday afternoon or whatever. So I felt like they did a really good job. Like, it felt authentic. Okay. Then Grady shows up also to go into his agent or whatever, and they're telling him, you need to write another hit song or else you're done. And they're telling Duke the same thing. You need a hit song or you're done.
Yeah.
So this, you know, the cold, hard movie music business. And they say, basically, Grady and Duke, you've got to write this song together.
And they used to be
best
friends and in a band together.
Yeah. And so you know that there's something going on because they don't really want to work with each other.
Right.
But they're also both stuck. They're, you know, between a rock and a hard place. So Duke is supposed to be playing at a music festival. I forget what it was called, but it's also in Tennessee.
And Grady has to write a song
by
the festival
so that he can sing it there and promote the forthcoming album that's going to be the hit for.
Yeah.
So
write a hit song.
Write a hit song in 9 days or less and you know, make it work. So I'm trying to remember the meet cute.
He sees her. She performs in the bar
of the town.
Grady's down in the bar.
But not in Nashville, right?
No.
Okay.
In the town where Jesse Schramm lives, Shayna lives.
So Shayna goes home because the audition did not go well.
Right.
She goes home to her family's ranch. Her dad is setting up for this big music festival that's going to have Duke as the headliner.
Right.
And she stops in town and her friend cajoles her into performing that night. So she goes there.
Because it's like open mic night.
Open mic night. And then she's there performing, and Grady's in town early because he figures, I got to go somewhere and write the song. I got to get out of Nashville, whatever.
Yeah.
And
inspiration.
And so he starts talking to her at the bar and doesn't realize she's the musical talent.
Yeah.
And says, oh, do you know this person? Yeah. Are they any good? Eh.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And then she gets up there and sings, and he's like, ears perk up.
Yeah, and he goes, zoinks.
Zoinks, she's actually good.
Yeah.
What the heck? She's got a great voice and blah, 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 blah. And so he tells her, they hit it off by him telling her that her music's good, or her voice is awesome, but her lyrics need some work.
Yeah, and he proposes that they write a song together.
Mm-hmm.
And she, of course, looks at it skeptically and stuff.
Because she's had some bad experiences in Nashville.
And he says, no, I'm legit. You know, here's my card. You can call there. You can check around and check me out. I think we could work together. And she finally checks him out, finds out he's legit. And so he's trying to use her as inspiration, you know, to get her to co-write his hit for him. Actually, write his hit for him.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And then he also, though, talks to his agent or whoever, the label, and says, this woman is something else.
Yeah.
You know, so they're hitting it off. Now, here you feel the romance.
Uh-huh.
You know? While they're setting up for the festival, they're still like, they go on horse rides together. They're spending a lot of time writing together.
Yeah.
And you could tell that there's this mutual affection or affinity for each other. So I totally like that. And then I might be skipping some stuff, but then Duke comes to town. The Monday of the festival's from Wednesday to Sunday or something. He's headlining on Saturday. And he shows up on Monday in town.
Yeah, so he's going to spend the week in town. He goes to the bar. He sees her perform as well. and says, "Wow, you're really good." She said, "Oh, it's too bad your manager or whatever didn't think I was good enough to be
your backup
your
singer."
Backup singer. And he goes, "Oh, that's crazy."
That's right.
Yeah. So
you've got something. Got it.
Yeah. So he starts making time with her.
Uh-huh.
And Niall Mader starts getting a little jealous because it's turning out that it's more than just a working relationship. He's falling for her.
Right. So he's getting jealous. She's clueless to the whole thing.
Right.
She doesn't know why he's upset. And of course it leads to there's a perplexing scene where like the festival is going on.
Yeah.
And yet they're still going into town. So I don't understand how this whole festival that got started by her mom, who was also a singer-songwriter, is happening at her family ranch, and yet she's like barely involved.
Yeah,
barely. She's only helping her friend.
Barely there.
Yeah, barely involved, barely there. But there was a whole lot of stuff about her mom. And, she has a close relationship with her dad, and her dad gives her, like, her mom's guitar. Like, so there's a lot of heartwarming stuff as well, but not super sad. But meanwhile, they write the song, and Grady tells Duke, "You got to have, this is, it, they, it, he turned it into a duet." So it was a love song about finding love. It was a song about finding love. And then they turned it into a duet, and he said, "Duke, you've got to sing it with Jesse Schramm, Shayna. You just have to." So it's like a dream come true for her.
Yeah.
Because here's this guy who's a big country music star.
Right.
And she's not just his backup singer. She's singing a bona fide duet that she wrote with Grady, whom she has feelings for.
Yeah.
And, it's on the big night of the festival, and a record guy has come to check her out.
Yeah.
And so, of course, what happens? Grady misunderstands something, and he leaves.
Yeah. They get pissed, get upset and leave town, like, immediately after being upset.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so she doesn't even know he's gone. Then she's calling. Isn't she calling him? He's not answering.
Yeah.
But I forget what happens. Doesn't she leave him a message and he listens to it and he turns around and he comes back, right?
Yeah.
You know, and then Duke, who's supposed to be so I forgot the one thing. You also find out that the reason Duke and Grady have this friction is because Duke stole the song that he and Grady had written together. And the record company had said at the time, "Look, we need to launch you as a solo career, so we better have just songs that are written by you."
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of talking to him about it, they just went and did it.
Yeah.
And he's held a grudge about it ever since. So now they had a conversation about that and kind of buried the hatchet, right? They said, "You know, look, the record company made me do it." And what Grady's just kind of like, I think he just doesn't care because now he has this new song with Shayna. But he gives it to Duke, doesn't he? And then she's upset. Why would he do that?
Exactly. Well, I can tell you why he did it, because that was what he was supposed to be doing.
Because that was the deal.
That was the whole deal, was him writing a hit song for Duke.
That's right. So I'm calling a little shenanigans maybe on the very romantic end, which is Duke, you know, when he shows up, Duke says, "Look, you're the one who's supposed to be singing this song."
Yeah.
I don't think the record company would have liked that.
Yeah, exactly.
And usually these people are a little egotistical. I don't think he would. And all those people are there to see Duke, but he's like, "Okay, I'm going to send this singer, this songwriter nobody knows out there to sing with this other person nobody knows, except the local crowd knows her." But that, you know, you're thinking the festival's drawing a lot from around all the whole state or half the state or whatever. Yeah. So I'm just like, Really? Really said, yeah, you need to go sing this? The grand romantic gesture. That's what that is. But she's very excited that he's the one singing.
Gracefully and grandly.
What? Gracefully and grandly?
Oh, from A League of Their Own, when they're going to lady school.
Uh-huh.
What did they call those schools?
Oh, finishing schools.
Yeah. Where they taught you manners and stuff like that.
Yeah, finishing schools.
Yeah, well, they were walking around with the books on their head. Of course, and the
for good posture.
And the instructor is going, have some walking and going, gracefully and grandly. Gracefully and grandly.
Can you imagine for the rest of your life walking around going gracefully and grandly in your head? Anyway, right. So after they sing together, that's like basically the end of the movie, right? Yeah. Or was there more?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think that was it.
Yeah, I think that was the end.
So I felt like this was pretty good. Niall Mader, not always the best singer.
Yeah.
But that's kind of true to his character. He's not supposed to be a great old singer because he sang something. I think it was flat, I swear.
Yeah, in the beginning, the first song they did together, he was way flat.
Yeah. And they were supposed to be singing a harmony, but it was unison, I think.
Yeah, they weren't singing a harmony.
But she later did sing harmony, you know, so it did work out. And the Duke character was okay, but, you know, he wasn't really meant to be a big player in the whole scene.
He was just
there to be the romantic foil.
The romantic rival.
Yeah, so love triangle.
Yeah, that's...
So, yeah. So, that's all I have to say. Do you have any observations?
No, it was all right. And I watched it and I said, yeah, it was better, even though I'm not a big country music based movie fan.
Right.
Rom-com fan. It still was better than the last few movies that they've cranked out.
Yeah. No, I saved it. I felt like I could watch it again.
Yeah.
You know, because even though he got upset and left, you kind of understand why he would do it. You know, but also, come on, stop being a baby.
I know.
I'm so sick of that move. Yeah. But, you know, I forget how, like, scared people are to love, and a lot of people just run away. Mm-hmm. You know, whether metaphorically or or figuratively.
but it always happens when someone leaves in these movies that they leave town at a moment's notice.
Well, it just happened with that other one we rewatched where she was the photographer at the wedding venue.
Yeah.
And the guy was a country singer and they had the duet that they wrote together.
Uh-huh.
And she was supposed to perform it at the wedding. They were supposed to perform it at his sister's wedding together. And he got the call from Nashville or whatever. He had to go attend to the big recording studio star.
But,
and he came back and sang the duet. It's like the same move.
Yeah, but the thing is,
he may have hopped on the incoming ferry. And there may have been some drama there. Not just a U-turn.
That's right. But at least it made sense why he was leaving.
Yes.
It wasn't like...
He wasn't upset.
He wasn't upset.
He didn't really want to leave.
Leaving town.
Yeah.
He needed to leave because he, you know... He got the offer and needed to go and do it.
But it happened with the Christmas duet, too.
Yeah.
I'm telling them, I'm just saying, we're getting used to there's going to be a duet at the end. And someone's going to have to leave, whether because they're upset or because of other obligations. But they're going to make the decision to come back and sing that duet in the end. I'm just saying.
But my problem with the leaving is the ones where the person's leaving because they're upset.
Like this guy.
Where they'll just, like people just leave town.
In a moment's notice, I
don't buy.
Yeah.
Because even when I'm planning on leaving somewhere.
It takes forever
to get ready to leave.
That's right.
To go on a trip. You're always there like hours before trying to, do I have everything? Do I have anything? Who, you know, these people that just throw their stuff in a bag.
Three chili peppers.
Yeah. put their stuff in a bag and they're out of town going to like I was trying to think of a pea country.
Pakistan.
Pakistan. Yeah. I'm going to Pakistan with my freaking backpack.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like the traveling chef in A Christmas Cottage.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. I'm sorry. I'm going to Finland right now.
I'm going to Peru. Yeah. Like, how do you know you're going to get a flight?
Yeah.
It's like,
no, they're just going to go to the airport and hop on a plane.
Yeah, you know, if you buy a ticket that late, it's going to cost a fortune.
Yeah. And these people don't seem to have a lot of money.
Yeah, so.
Well, but that's okay. So this guy like wasn't flying anywhere.
But, you know, Jesse Schramm, Niall Mader, even though he has that, putting on that fake country accent.
Sometimes.
It made me laugh. Oh, yeah, exactly. Sometimes. He had the sometimes accent.
Yeah, but they were good together, and they're good actors, so that was good. It didn't have they weren't cardboard characters in a way,
right?
And, you know, I mean, they all basically are cardboard characters to a point, but because, you know, we don't have a lot of time to do character development, but they seem like real people. They seem to have a real connection, and the writing was not terrible. And the music wasn't bad. I know you said you weren't a big country person, but it wasn't like hit you over the head country, you know?
Yeah.
And it seemed more like singer-songwriter-y with a country twist. So I thought it was pretty good. But
an ice cube just fell out of our ice maker.
The freezer begs to differ.
Yeah.
The ice maker says, I don't know about that.
Just spit out an ice cube on its own.
Just in case we need it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And you know, the ranch was nice.
Yeah. And it looked semi-authentic.
I guess it's time to rate it.
Yeah, it is. It is time to rate
it. It is time. I'm going to give it a 3.5.
We're right together again. 3.5 with me, too.
Look at that. Yep. No, it's definitely been the best of the fall movies.
So far. We haven't seen my friend's wedding bouquet. My friend's bouquet yet. My best friend's bouquet.
Right, because, and I'm also kind of counting the late summer ones.
Well, that we got that,
because there was the one with the hot air balloons over Lake Tahoe.
Yeah.
With Cindy Busby. What is it? Hot Summer Nights or Late Summer Nights or
Hot Summer Nights?
Summer Nights. I think it's just Summer
Nights.
Well,
we got coming up My Best Friend's Bouquet.
Okay.
Sweet Autumn with Nikki DeLoach and Paul. What the fuck? I'm sorry.
Wow. Another three chili peppers.
Hallmark has. Are you kidding me? How come I cannot pause this?
Is that the Nikki DeLoach?
Yeah, it's like, and Paul Walker or whatever, Andrew Walker.
Andrew Walker. Walker. And they're such a good couple. They've been in so many things together.
Yeah, hold on. I'm going to try to catch this video before it starts playing. Okay, all right. It didn't autoplay this time. That's Sweet Autumn, Jingle Bell Bride.
Oh, well,
that's with...
that's October 23rd, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. That's when we start getting into Christmas.
I know. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
And Chateau Christmas. Oh, that's got Nostril Dude and the ice skater. what the heck was her name? Now I'm going to have to...
The one from Picture of Perfect Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is her name? Mackenzie or something?
Merritt Patterson.
Merritt Patterson. I was close with Mackenzie. I mean, you got to give that to me.
Very close. Mackenzie Merritt. But before that is Jingle Bell Bride starring...
Somebody with Warren, right? Or is that...
No. Not Warren. Julie Gonzalo and Ronnie Rowe Jr.
Do we know Julie Gonzalo from...
Of course. The one with the scar on the bridge of her nose.
Right. Falling for Vermont.
Yeah.
Falling
for Vermont.
It is another Falling For, right?
Yeah.
Although she did fall for Vermont. She ended up moving there.
Right.
Or at least she will when she marries the pediatrician dude.
So those,
so in those, my mind.
So those are the upcoming ones. I can't wait for the Nostril Dude one.
What's his name?
Nostril Dude?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Nicholas something?
Nicholas something?
I don't know. Maybe I say N because of the Nostril Dude. And
It's Merritt Patterson and
Luke McFarlane. I thought of one. I'm so excited.
But of course, before that, Andrew Walker
and Nikki Paul Walker Dodoge.
Is Fast and the Furious.
Yes, and rest in peace.
Yes, rest in peace, Paul Walker. Andrew Walker, wasn't he in a movie with Nikki Deloach before?
That's what I said. That's why I'm laughing.
I'm so in my head when I'm looking at the screen that I don't hear anything.
They were in the one where he was the soon-to-be washed-up baseball player.
That's right. That's right.
He came back for the father and son game with
Kyle and the clarinet player.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. From Christmas List,
the kid.
Oh, my God. You better come to my,
my show.
I'll try. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I guess this is a back to maybe they're going to do like a series of them like Lacey Chabert and Warren do all the time.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Warren's name is... And I know we've said it before, but Brennan Elliott. For people who may not remember, or this is their first episode, we call him Warren because he played Warren on Cedar Cove.
That's where we first saw him.
That's where we first saw him. So yeah. We call him Warren. Although Cedar Cove, he's a real kind of a jerk.
Yeah, that's right. But he was a real jerk character.
He's only been a jerk character once or twice since.
Yeah.
Because he was kind of a little jerk with the one where he was the head of his father's theater company.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
But all the other ones, he kind of played.
With Jules from Psych.
Yeah, he's more comedic.
Yeah, yeah, no, and he's good.
Yeah.
I like him. Although, he's in the one where it's like Christmas in Vienna or something.
Yeah.
Maybe that's his junket. They sent him to Vienna.
That's right. They finally rewarded him with a location shoot in another country.
That's right. That's not Canada.
That's not Canada.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, no, I so to recap, yes. I highly recommend Country at Heart. It's good. It has a lot of there's some complexity there that keeps you interested.
Yeah.
I do not recommend Falling for Look Lodge. Like its name, it falls flat.
Yes. So
if you feel differently, you can send us an email at destroymail@gmail.com.
Ryan, I know I promised to have a unique Hallmarks the Spot email address yet, but I haven't done that.
We haven't done that. Sorry. We're busy.
But you still get either way.
It gets to Jim.
It gets to me.
That's right. And he'll take care of it. He won't read it on the other Destroy All Movies podcast.
No, I can tell the difference. If they're talking about a Hallmark movie or talking about the other show.
That's right. You can visit our website at damshow.co.
DAMSHOW.co, home of the Damn Junior Podcasting Network.
That's right. And if you go there, there is an Amazon link. And if you click on that Amazon link, you could do your shopping. That like just like you always do, but at we'll Amazon. Get a little bit of a credit. So
and it doesn't increase the price of what you're buying at all.
No, nope. It just rewards us for having the link on our page.
Amazon gives us a little taste out of their end of the business.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that would be cool. And if you have any suggestions for top five lists you want us to do besides top five bad boyfriends,
send them in.
And
if you're feeling saucy, you can go over to Apple Podcasts, and give us a review.
A good review.
A good, yes.
A 5-star rating and a good review.
Exactly. That helps us in our rankings there.
That's right. So when people search for Hallmark Podcasts, we might be up in the top of the heap. Which we know we're in the top of the heap because this is your favorite podcast. And why wouldn't it be?
Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. This is your favorite podcast signing off.
That's right. Happy fall, everyone. Yes. Drink some apple cider, eat some apple pie, and we'll see you
and
here.
And Christmas is coming.
Christmas is coming.
Christmas is coming.
In only 2 weeks.
Yep.
We're going to get one of our tiny Christmas trees out to celebrate.
Then you're going to really hear us hit our stride when we got nonstop Christmas movies to talk about.
And maybe we'll do some research ahead of time so we'll know the names and stuff instead of just Nostril Dude and the figure skater Warren and Paul Walker.
I like the Paul Walker movie. Nostril Dude.
Nikki DeLoach and Andrew Walker were also in the one where she wishes that she had a different life.
And that's right.
With Shirley Williams.
This could be at least the third.
At least
that they are together.
Because I think
that's
they
right.
were in other. That's a,
that,
another
I hated
one or
that
two.
Movie.
Yeah, it's not great. Because she's like, I wish I had a different life, and then she spends her whole thing trying to get back. And Shirley Williams is not a good fairy godmother.
No,
she's kind of mean, and she says you can't get back.
And I think she like learned her lesson early on.
She did, so, but it keeps on going.
Well, there's our going away music.
That's right. We're going away.
See you next week.
That's right. Bye.